for listening to the Thornapple Valley Church podcast. Thank you for joining us. Our hope is for you to be encouraged and to connect with God during this message. If you'd like to know more about Thornapple Valley Church, visit tvcweb.com.
Well, good morning. Also, want to welcome in our campuses in Delton, Middleville, and online. Hey, can we give it up for our campuses that are joining us? You know, like you've heard on our campuses, this is the grand opening of our Compassion Center, and it's really going to be something that's going to be used for all campuses because we're starting this program called the Compassion Recovery Program. It's for people who have hurts, habits, and hang-ups, which is all of us, and so it's going to be an incredible program. Also, there's that counseling room, so this is just an incredible weekend, but this is also a weekend that I want to take a moment and celebrate all of our volunteers who helped us out last week with Easter. We had some incredible services here. So can we give it up for all of our volunteers who helped us out? You know, I kind of say something like this every year, but one of the reasons that I love Easter is because it marks the end of spring or the end of winter and the beginning of spring. But if you're not new, if you're new to Michigan, spring is a little bit different. I've been trying to explain this to my good friend, Tim from Texas. And so here's the best way I can explain spring here in Michigan. Watch this video. Doesn't that about do it, right? You know, I actually had that experience this past week. I think it was Wednesday. I was meeting with some of our staff. And so when I drove into work, it was overcast, like it was in the fall, beginning of winter. And then while I'm in the meeting, it starts snowing. And by the end of the meeting, it was the sun was shining and we were all in shorts. I mean, it was an incredible deal. The swing, that's Michigan spring. But here's the other reason I show you that video, is that's how some of you feel spiritually right now. Man, you had this moment with God on Easter. You're like, wow, man, God's meeting me, and I just feel so much light and peace. And then you find yourself overwhelmed. Kind of like you're stuck in the snow, and you're like, spiritually, I'm trying to dig myself out of this problem. I like what the Apostle Paul said about this. We talked about this on Easter. In Romans chapter 7, verse 15, Paul says, what I want to do, I don't do, but the junk I hate, I do. The stuff that I really want to accomplish, that's the stuff I can't find myself doing, but the stuff I don't want to do, oh man, that's the stuff that I keep doing over and over again. Basically, what Paul's saying is I'm lost. Now, quick question, just to make sure I know what room I am. Anybody in this room ever got lost before? Anybody ever got lost before? You know, I think that there's nobody who does lost better than my good friend, Clark Griswold. Watch this.
Clark, I think we're lost.
We're not lost. Ellen, will you please let me do the driving?
I honestly don't think you're going to find the Grand Canyon on this road.
Dad, I haven't seen a car for an hour.
Oh, shut up, Audrey. You don't think Dad knows where he's going?
Thank you, Russ.
You're lost.
Ma, I saw some detour signs.
I didn't see any.
I saw them when you and Mom were trying to fold the map.
Audrey, when they close a road, they put up big signs like this one.
Now, I got to tell you, that's the definition of loss. Now, if you're 18 and under, that spaceship that they were driving is called a station wagon. In the 80s, we call it our swagger wagon. That's what it was. But here's the truth. If I were to participate in my own impromptu survey of getting lost, my hand would go up and it would never come down. Because this has been my life story, is I've gotten lost more than I've wanted to get lost. And here's what I can tell you, as somebody who's an expert in getting lost, is my instincts tend to betray me. Anytime I come to a crossroads, I always think the right turn is to turn right. But often turning right often leads me down the wrong direction. And here's what I know about getting lost is, number one, it's frustrating. If you've ever gotten lost before, you know it's frustrating. Because, you know, I've got my time, I've got my agenda, and I'm going after it, and then I find myself lost. Here's the second thing that I know to be true about being lost as somebody who's gotten lost a lot in my life. It is embarrassing. Oh man, it's embarrassing. You know, I've been late to meetings and I've been late to major appointments in my life. And here's what I wish I could say. I wish I could say with honesty that I got lost or I got stuck in traffic. But if I'm being honest, oftentimes I got stuck in traffic going the wrong direction. It's embarrassing. And here's what I know about being embarrassed about being lost. There are some of you right now, that's how you feel like in life right now. You're lost in your relationships, in your business, in your finances. And you're too embarrassed to ask for directions. So you just keep going around in circles and you are lost. Here's what I also know about getting lost is it causes you to miss opportunities. I'm that guy who shows up late for the movie because I got lost, and I become that guy in the movies who I missed the setup on the movie, and so I'm always, hey, why are they doing that? Why are they doing that? Everybody turns to me and go, shh. Because I got lost on my way to the movie. And then here's the last thing that I've noticed about getting lost is it increases the cost of the trip. In times of money and gas, how much time have you wasted because you're lost? You're going in circles. There's some of you who came to church today and you are so lost right now. You don't know where you're going, how you even got here. You don't even know if you want to be here because, my friend, you're lost. And we've all been there. You know, I used to have a pastor friend who used to say, the problem with most of us is that we're like the rest of us. We get lost from time to time. Here's what the writer of Proverbs is going to say in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. He's going to say, there is a way that seems right, but it ends in death. There is a way that seems like it's the right direction, but it ends in death. And that makes sense, right? That way is the way that everybody else is going. That's the way that I feel longing to go. But yet when I go that way, it's a dead end. And for some of you, like Clark Griswold, your friends and your family member are shouting at you, you're lost. And in your heart of hearts, you know that you're lost, but it's just hard to admit it. Here's why God is going to speak through the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 6. If you got a Bible, I'm going to invite you to get to Jeremiah chapter 6. In the book of Jeremiah, God's people in the southern tribe of Judah have been lost for years. See, what's going to happen in the early part of the kingdom, there's going to be a civil war, and so the northern tribes go their way, and they become utterly destroyed. For a few years, the southern tribes hang on for a little bit longer, but they lose their way. Then God's going to raise up a king by the name of Josiah. Josiah is trying to find his way, and actually what he does is, the Bible says this, is that he finds the book of the law. And the prophet Jeremiah comes along during this time where the nation is in national decline because they're in spiritual decline. Another way I could say this is that they have become morally corrupt because they're spiritually bankrupt. Here's what Jeremiah is going to say to these people in this fragile and vulnerable place. In Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, Jeremiah is going to say this to a people who are looking for direction and have lost their way. Jeremiah says this in chapter 6, verse 16. He says, this is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient path. Ask for where the good way is and walk in it. You will find rest for your souls. But you said, we will not walk in it. I want you to notice, God said, but we said. God said, you know something? You're lost. So go back to the point where you got lost. Go back to that crossroad and go to the well-worn path. Robert Frost said it like this in his famous poem, The Road Not Taken. He said, two roads diverge in the woods, and I took the one that's less traveled by, and that's made all the difference. God says, go back to that crossroads and ask for the ancient path. Go down that pathway. That's what God said, but we said we will not. See, in the very first week of this series, I want to help you understand the crossroads. Because really, this is the key to moving from good intentions to good actions. I don't doubt that you want to be a good person. But I don't doubt that, like me and like others in this room, that at times you fail and you don't know how you failed. And it's because you came to a crossroads and you took the way that seemed right instead of the right way. If you got your Bible open to Jeremiah chapter 6, go back to verse 14, because here's what God's going to say to his people through Jeremiah. They dressed the wound of my people as though it was not serious. Peace, peace, they say, when there is no peace. Now, I want you to notice three people talking. God said, we said, and they said. These are the three voices we always hear as we're trying to make choices. God said, we said, and they said. And what they're saying sounds right. Oh, it's going to be okay. It's not that bad. They dressed the wound of my people as though it was not serious. They say, peace, peace, but there is no peace. See, here's what's happening during this time. These people are morally corrupt, and they're going the wrong way, and they're sacrificing the idols. They've lost their way. And Josiah is trying to bring them back to the Word of God. And the prophet Jeremiah says, listen, God has a better way. God has a better way for you, but you have to come to this very first crossroads that I call the reality crossroads. The reality crossroads. Where at that crossroads, I realize that there is a problem or I deny there is a problem. Now, this is the point where I want to stop preaching and I just want to talk to you as your pastor. For so many of you, you long to be better. The problem is not your intentions, is that you've never faced reality. The problem is everybody else's fault except yours. And as long as you keep denying reality, you're going to keep traveling down this road and there's going to be more pain and more pain and more pain and more pain. And everybody who loves you is calling out to you and saying, you are lost. You're lost. You know, I remember when I lived in Southern California, I worked at a treatment facility for people who had life-controlling problems, addictions, different things like that. Because I have a master's and a doctorate, I was the chaplain there. I did a 12-step program, a Christ-centered 12-step program, and I offered biblical counseling for anybody who wanted biblical counseling. And I remember one day, there's this young lady who showed up there, and she showed up there because her dad dropped her off. And this lady is 18 years old. And I still remember that day vividly. We'll just call her Megan. That's not a real name. And as her dad is dropping her off, she is fighting and kicking and she's screaming at him. And with tears in his eyes, He's looking at Megan and said, Megan, I'm not doing this to you. I'm doing this for you. And she's going, if you love me, I told you I would do better. I don't want to go there. I'm not like those people. And I still, literally, I can see it. I see that dad with tears in his eyes going, I have to. And him driving away. And I remember sitting in that room, and as we would talk about this, the very first week we talk about denial. And so many of those people would sit there like this. I'm here because the court told me I had to be here. Here because my girlfriend or my boyfriend said that I'm done if I don't get this right. But I just want to let you know, pastor, bishop, father, whatever your name is, I'm not like the other people here. And we'll just talk about Megan for a moment, not her real name. Megan sat like that for weeks and for months. And then I can remember the day Megan started to cry, but not because she was mad at her dad, but because she saw what she had been doing to herself. And just like yesterday, I remember the day that Megan gave me a hug and she said, you know, I'm getting out in a few months. Thank you for this program. I'm going to go back to college and I'm going to get a degree and I'm going to help people who have issues like me because I've found the truth. Jesus once said, you will know the truth. And those of you who know the Bible or you have been around the Bible, you know how this goes. He says, you will know the truth and the truth will do what? Some of you who have not gone to church, when I say you will know the truth, your mind went, you can't handle the truth. No, that's not the Bible. The reason Jesus gave us the truth is not to hurt us, but to set us free. There's a saying that says that the truth hurts, and I don't argue with it, but the purpose of it is not to hurt you, it's to set you free. You know, here's a phrase we used to say in that Christ-centered program is we used to say, you cannot fix a problem you will not face. You cannot fix a problem you will not face. So it's time to face it. You know, recently, me and my wife, we had an incredible spiritual experience at home. We cleaned out our refrigerator. Any of you ever had that spiritual experience? And I like to live my life on the go. So we out a lot, and because we also are interested in our self-image, we always go get groceries because if anybody ever comes to our house, we want to look like that we have groceries in our refrigerator. Now, some of you are looking at me super judgmental, but I'm just saying you have issues too. So here's the thing. So, you know, oftentimes, you know, I'll get something that's really good, leave it in there for a while, and then it'll start to stink. And then some of the stuff that we buy, some of the vegetables we buy start to stink too. And so, like, for instance, you get a potato. Boy, a rotten potato, you can smell it for months. Man, it's gross. But an avocado, on the other hand, might not look bad, but when you open it up, it's rotten to its core. Here's a picture of a rotten avocado. Now, I know some of you have lunch later. You're welcome. But here's the point. You can take that down. For some of us, this is us. We don't look rotten on the outside. Oh, man, I got a great business. I got a great family. But, boy, you got some rotten ways of thinking. You got some rotten stuff that comes out of you under pressure. You have some rotten things you go to comfort you. And when will you face it and be real? You know, there's this interesting story in the beginning of the Bible. Everything is all good. You got Adam and Eve in there in a perfect climate. It's so perfect that they don't even have to wear clothes. Everything about this is perfect. Adam has a perfect relationship with God, and then God gives him a perfect wife. She is a perfect 10 in every way. Soon as Adam sees her, he says, flesh of my flesh, bone of my bones, you shall be called woman. Pastor and author Levi Lesko says, in the ancient Hebrew, what that means is that she had those apple-bottom jeans and the boots with the furs. Now, I have not researched that to verify, but everything's perfect until the devil shows up and he says, it's not good enough to be like God, to be made in the image of God. You should be God. And so why would God tell you not to do the one thing you really want to do? That's the fruit you want to eat. And when they disobey God, they become more like the devil and less like God. And then here's what's going to happen. Is God shows up walking in a garden, and he's looking for Adam. He says, Adam, where were you? And Adam says, I was afraid, so I hid. I was afraid, so I hid. And ever since then, mankind has been hiding. And some of you today, you're hiding behind the makeup, behind the, it'll get better in time, you are hiding. You know, I've told the story a lot, but I remember in 2021 when I stopped hiding. So let's go back to 2020. Everybody remembers the pandemic. At the time, I was at a church on the other side of the state. And every Sunday, besides one Sunday during the pandemic, I stood on the stage and I declared the hope of the gospel. I taught people about God, that it was going to be, that he was good and we were going to get through this. But during that time, there was pain, sadness, all kinds of stuff going on. And I still remember this day. I'm upstairs in my house on the other side of the state, and all of a sudden my heart starts beating fast. I can't breathe. And for the first time in my life, I'm having a panic attack. And I was so embarrassed that I didn't know what was happening to me, so I hid. I remember I was talking to my wife. She said, what's wrong with you? Oh, I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm good. And then December 2021, I speak all the Christmas Eve services. I get in the car. I drive my family down to Louisiana, and I'm sitting in a restaurant with my mom, my dad, my wife, and the room starts spinning. That heart beating fast thing happens to me again. And I look at my wife and I say, I need to go to the hospital right now. And she said, you're scaring me. And I said, I'm scared too. We drive into the hospital. And they ran a bunch of tests on me. And the doctor said, hey, for a man in your early 40s, you actually look fine. There's nothing going on in your brain. There's nothing going on all the scans. But your blood pressure is through the roof. And I got on that scale and I was 30 pounds heavier than I am right now. And in that moment, I stopped hiding and I started confronting what was really going on in my life. See, here's what I know about every man in the room. Now, I don't know what's true about women, but there's not a man in this room who wants to look weak. So what we do is we hide. I can handle it. I'm good. I don't have a problem. Why are you crying? I'm not crying. But there comes a moment where we just get real. And here's what I love about that story. In Genesis chapter 3, Adam's not looking for God, but God is looking for him. See, there's somebody who came to church today, and you're not looking for God, but God's looking for you. And he wants to say, you don't have to do this on your own. You can actually find peace. See, here's the other saying we used to say in that program, is you first have to admit it to defeat it. Once you admit it, you can start to face it and you can start to defeat it. And it's going to take some time, but as you start to travel down that road, you're going to start to see and experience freedom and recovery. So how do I know I'm walking on the reality crossroad in the right direction? Is when you can say this statement, I realize that I am not God, but I need God. I realize that I'm not God, but I need God. Now, I get it. Some of you would say, okay, Pastor, I wanted you to say something deep and profound, something so confusing that I have to explain it to my neighbors, and I would say, hey, my pastor's really smart. But what you just said is so simple that I didn't need to come here to hear that, but let me promise you something. It's not that easy to practice. Because most of us live our lives trying to be God, to control everything, to control every situation, and we just, I got it. And then there's a moment where we just go, I'm not in control. But that's all right. Because there is a God who is in control. In this compassion recovery program, we say it like this. You're traveling down the reality crossroads when you're able to say this, I admit that I cannot control my tendency to do the wrong thing and that my life has become unmanageable. That I'm powerless to control my tendency to do the wrong thing. I have tendencies, and I start, and then all of a sudden, it's like I'm looking through a window at myself doing the very thing I said I wouldn't do. That's reality. But then to go back to Jeremiah says, hey, go back to that crossroads. Go back to where you got off and ask for the ancient pathways, the good way where you will find rest for your souls. Here's the second crossroads he's talking about. It's what I call the hope crossroads. Once I admit that I have a problem, then I start to focus on the fact that there's a God who can help me with the problem. And at this crossroads, there's earnest belief and earnest disbelief. There's a belief that things can get better, or there's a belief that it cannot get better. That's why we say our vision here is to transform our communities and our world with hope, is when people get to the point where they say, okay, I need help and I believe that there's a God who can help me, then we start to find real hope. Here's what Jesus said. He said something similar to this in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. He says, come to me, all who are weary and burden, which is all of us at some point in our lives. Another way you could say, come to me, all you who are lost, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I am gentle and humble in heart. We're going to learn more about that next week. And then Jesus says, you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Basically, I like to call this the path of hope, or the hope way. That there's a different way to live. Instead of being stressed out and being concerned that I'm going to be found out, I can have a hope that there's a God who can help me carry the burden. And I can believe that he cares. How do I know that I'm traveling down the hope pathway? Is when I'm able to say this, I believe that God cares and can help me carry my burdens. I believe that God cares. And for some of you, this is why you've never come to God, is you don't believe that he cares. And you believe that as soon as you get your act cleaned up, then you can come to God, but there's a God who cares who says, I can help you carry that. You don't have to carry that on your own. I wanna walk beside you and I wanna help you. In this compassion recovery program we're starting, we say it like this, we earnestly believe that God exists, that we matter to him, and he has the power to help us recover. See, there are some of you today, and you're at a crossroads, and nobody knows the crossroads that you're at. And I love here at the Hastings campus, Chase shared his story, and he says, man, I was at the crossroads of life and death, actually. And then I found some hope that I don't have to do this by myself. See, at some point in all of our lives, we get to a moment where we say, I need help. And I need somebody to save me. Dr. Rick Warren writes this. The truth is, I'm not okay. And you're not okay. But that's okay because God will make me okay. And that's what Jesus came to do. If I'm okay and you're okay, imagine Jesus on the cross, arms outstretched, bleeding to death, saying, if you're okay, then why am I up here? If you're okay, then why am I dying on the cross for you? You are not okay. I'm not okay, but that's okay because God's grace makes us okay. See, around here at TBC, we have a little saying that says, it's okay to not be okay. It's just not okay to stay that way. It's okay to not be okay. We all are not okay, but God's grace makes us okay. Hey, here's what I'm going to do. We're going to end a little bit differently. I'm going to close in prayer. And then after I close in prayer, we're going to have some prayer partners up here who would love to pray for you. We'd love for you to check out our brand new Compassion Center, so forth. That's a great place to help you. If you want to get baptized, whatever it is, we'd love to help you with that. But I'm going to pray, and then we will be dismissed. And one of the things that we like to say every week is, go live out your faith every day in every possible way. Let me pray, and then we'll be dismissed. God, today, thank you that we don't have to be okay for you to meet us. But God, you make us okay by your grace. So next week, God, as we learn about the next crossroads, the next couple crossroads, help us to take that journey towards healing, hope, and recovery. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, hey, God bless you. You're dismissed. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Thornapple Valley Church Podcast. If you found this message encouraging, we invite you to share it. For more information, visit tbcweb.com.